You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Americans need to know this. This is just the very beginning of what's going to be a massive expansion of the number of people coming across the border. It will grow tenfold and a hundredfold, especially because of the way the Biden administration has handled this. Remember during the presidential campaign when all of the candidates said, we want open borders. Well, guess what? Biden has provided those open borders. He's inviting everybody in, and the floodgates are now open, and Texas is at the forefront of it.
March 18, 2021, that is Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Texas and all those states are on the border. They're at the forefront of all these illegals, this tsunami that's sweeping over. And the Biden administration still won't call it a crisis. They think they got a little problem. They have a little challenge, but it's not a crisis. And yet, even inside the administration, some are admitting it is. Call it what you want. The facts stand. We have an increase of illegals coming across the border at record numbers. Record numbers. And why? Well, because Biden, one of the first things he did in his executive orders is sign an executive order striking President Trump's order that if you're coming to the U.S., seek asylum, you have to stay in Mexico. And we will consider your case and adjudicate it. And if we assume, or rather prove, that, yes, you are eligible for asylum, we will bring you in. Going into U.S. for a better life, to make money, to go to better schools, better health care, to be in a position where you can rob or attack or rape others, that's not asylum issues, and those are not reasons to come into the country illegally. But even coming in an asylum, you're not coming in illegally. It's a process. And the Texas governor is very upset because they're not getting full and clear information. The Biden information insists we're going to be transparent. They're not being transparent. We're going to get into that in a lot more detail coming up. But the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol is now admitting that the majority of migrant families it encountered on the southwest border last month, could stay in the country pending a decision on whether they'll be allowed to stay permanently. So, I mean, they were letting them anyway. And last month, almost 19,000+ total encounters with migrant families on the southern border. Now, originally, under the Trump health order, Title 42, they did expel 8,000. But then they came back. 59% of those were allowed to stay pending a decision as to if they'll be able to stay. So they're staying anyway. There is no clear direction to the Border Patrol. They're told, do this, do that, don't do that, do that. They're confused. It's understandable. They're the men and women on the front line, and they're not getting any help from the Biden administration. We're going to get in that, as I said, in more detail. And then this story. This is one of these things you say, what? How do you come up with that? The shootings at the Asian massage parlors in Georgia. Tragic. Well, because most of the victims were Asian, and it happened at Asian-owned and operated massage parlors. The left sees an immediate connection to Donald Trump, always referring to the Wuhan virus, the virus from China. And one of them even admits Trump didn't pull the trigger, but he basically set things in motion. No, I can't accept that either. We're going to be joined also by Stanley Kurtz. He wrote an excellent piece for National Review, The Greatest Education Battle of Our Lifetimes, and it's the education of your children and your grandchildren. What the left want to have in our schools is not going to be education. It's basically indoctrination. We'll be getting into that with him a little bit later based on his National Review article. And also Hans von Spakovsky will join us today from the Heritage Foundation. Some Democrat election lawyers this last time around, now being cited for misleading conduct. They knew what they were doing during the election, but they didn't care if they could get away with it. And to that extent, a Facebook exec is now admitting, yeah, we probably swayed the election that Biden got elected because of what we did, because we continued this driving the vote on Facebook, and we probably can take credit for Biden getting in. Of course, that credit and blame, there's a very thin line separating the two. Well, as you can tell, we've got a lot to cover. Oh, and also, Jimmy Kimmel wanting to know if the Obamas had sex on a particular date. I know. We'll cover all of it for you. It's coming up. Let your friends and neighbors know. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, Donald Trump didn't pull the trigger in Atlanta, but Donald Trump certainly was responsible for the anger and the fear and the suspicion that exists in great degree in this country, much more so than ever in the past. And he's not to blame for a history of racial strife in this country, but he certainly is to be blamed for enhancing it with his inaction and his cowardice in addressing it.
Those are the words of an MSNBC contributor, Mike Barnicle, on the Morning Joe show. He's talking about that tragedy that happened in Georgia at the massage parlors. 8 killed after attacks on several Atlanta area massage parlors. They've got a suspect in custody, a 21-year-old. In all 3 of these shootings, apparently he is to blame, according to police. And, of course, the question's immediately motive. Well, the left is not going to wait for facts, because if they can make a connection, they're going to do it. Now, I actually thought the very first thing we would hear, and we haven't heard it, well, we have to some extent, but this is the overriding story about that Trump is, quote, didn't pull the trigger, but is to blame. I fully expected them to start pushing immediately more gun control would have stopped that. And they will not walk away from that. I will guarantee you they'll end up trying to use it in some way. But I mean the leap that Donald Trump is responsible, even though, quote, he didn't pull the trigger, to go again with a quote from the MSNBC contributor Mike Barnicle on The Morning Joe said, he didn't pull the trigger, but he's responsible for the anger and the fear and the suspicion that exist in a great deal of this country. And that same message is basically being echoed in the White House. In the White House, under Biden's administration, Jen Psaki. Just listen to this statement.
I think there's no question that some of the damaging rhetoric that we saw during the prior administration, calling COVID, the Wuhan virus or other things, led to, perceptions of the Asian American community that are inaccurate, unfair, has elevated threats against Asian Americans. And we're seeing that around the country.
Yeah, well, there could be obviously some threats against Asian Americans and against black and brown people and against white people. This is just part and parcel of this entire idiotic philosophy that we're getting from the left. They tell you to stick to science and facts. They don't so much because they don't need to. They can call things out as they want. So here's Jen Psaki talking, and the question had been raised by a reporter at a news conference, and I will almost say that, hey, call me, I got a great question for you. Basically, are you blaming Trump at all? And you heard Psaki get into it. I think there's no question. Some of the damaging rhetoric we saw during that prior administration, calling COVID the Wuhan virus, led to perceptions of the Asian American community that are inaccurate and unfair. Saying also that it elevated attacks and threats against the Asian community. Now, a Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University, San Bernardino, recently noted a 150% surge in anti-Asian hate crimes in 2020. So they've got the basis, they think, to put it on Trump. What did Biden do? Well, he criticized it. He said it's wrong, it's un-American, it must stop. I can't challenge Biden on that. Going into these parlors and shooting and killing people, yeah, it's wrong, it's un-American, it must stop. Now, at no point did he criticize China for failing to stop the spread of the virus and misleading scientists about the dangers, but he's letting his PR people go out and say, Trump, you know, he started all this Asian-American hate. And the Biden administration, as I said, still will not call out China and said, you failed to stop the virus and you gave misleading information. You lied to us and you're still not giving us information. No, they're not going to do that. So let me give you another opinion. This piece just came up today and I wish I'd had it in advance. I would have. Maybe I'll try to book him tomorrow if I have time. It's from the Washington Times, an analysis opinion written by one of the heritage writers, Scott Zipperly. And his statement is, top begins, Asian Americans should be skeptical of the hashtag Stop Asian Hate campaign. He talks about an uptick in violent attacks on Asian Americans in New York, San Francisco, and it's all sparked a social media campaign to hashtag Stop Asian Hate. And he adds, while the violence is a very real concern, must be addressed, the campaign should be approached with skepticism. Listen to this point right here. This should be right in the face of Jen Psaki. If any reporter had any cojones to go at Psaki with this statement, it should go like this. Because he writes, without any substantiation, media coverage attributes the surge in attacks to white supremacy and xenophobia and labels of violence as hate crimes. And almost inevitably, these reports also suggest President Trump's words on the origins of the coronavirus is to blame for the attacks. And framing the coverage in this way advances the left-wing narrative that racism perpetrated by conservatives is pervasive in America. But closer examination reveals most of the crimes don't fit that narrative. And he goes into several. Well, let's just talk about this particular one. What about motive? According to police, the 21-year-old accused of shooting 7 women and 1 man in these events, it had nothing to do with race. Reportedly, he simply went after them because he's been treated for sex addiction, apparently, and it had an overwhelming sense of guilt because he had visited massage parlors, quote, for explicitly sexual activity. Oh, I didn't know that. I thought they were just massages. I didn't know that. Is that what they mean for the happy ending? I didn't know that. That's totally news to me. Well, anyway, apparently he knew more than I did. Wink, wink. Never mind. Never mind. Here we are. They, according to one of his roommates, actually, said, I spent several months living in an Atlanta halfway house with him. And he said, and he would describe several of his sexual addiction relapses, as he called them. He would have a deep feeling of remorse and shame and say he needed to return to prayer and to return to God. And he was being treated for drug addiction. And he was deeply religious. And he'd fall into bouts of depression. Another roommate made similar statements, saying that the 21-year-old felt a lot of guilt and a lot of shame because he went to the massage parlors. Six of the victims were Asian women. The other two victims were white. And one of them was a man, as I said. But here comes MSNBC with one of their analysts pointing out that it's got to be tied to Trump. And then they take the, and by the way, he's not the only one. Several high-profile athletes joining the mainstream media denouncing all of this and again saying this is anti-Asian hate created by Donald Trump. So once again, the words of the MSNBC contributor Mike Barnicle about where we stand and why we can blame Trump for hate.
The root of it is in the former president's 4 years, in his language and in his behavior. And we're still living it. We're still playing it out. And it affects us every day. All of that is the gift that keeps on giving, presented to us by a man who never, ever should have been president. And the stain of his presidency is still in existence today. And I fear how long it's going to last. I mean, the job that Joe Biden has is enormous enough. But dealing with the underbelly of all these causes, it only adds to the degree of difficulty in the presidency.
He made a statement that kind of slipped in there. I want to come back to it in a moment. But let's focus on his main point that, again, this is all created by 4 years of Donald Trump. And almost saying, thank God we didn't get another 4 years, because who knows what would have happened to our nation then. But none of it's factual. They're just kind of throwing it in there because, and you remember, I know you remember, because we pointed out numerous times, when Trump did stop flights direct from China, what did Biden and members of the left do? They accused him of being xenophobic. He hates yellow people. And then later, as we began to realize we had been lied to by China and how bad it was, Then the Democrats left started running out and saying, well, you know, Trump waited too long to stop the flights. The guy was never going to win, never going to win with them. You know that. But again, to make the leap that he is associated with this guy that decided for whatever reason he was going to shoot and kill women at massage parlors, and it had nothing to do with race. Let's go back again to the opening statement that you heard from Mike Barnicle, stopping just short of saying Trump, well, he didn't really pull the trigger.
The root of it is in the former president's 4 years, in his language and in his behavior. And we're still living it. We're still playing it out. And it affects us every day. All of that is the gift that keeps on giving, presented to us by a man who never, ever should have been president. And the stain of his presidency is still in existence today. And I fear how long it's going to last. I mean, the job that Joe Biden has is enormous enough.
All right. And again, I let him make a statement there that I don't have to drill back into. But again, let's hear the opening statement in the sense of how he put it all on Trump, all on Trump.
Now, Donald Trump didn't pull the trigger in Atlanta, but Donald Trump certainly was responsible for the anger and the fear and the suspicion that exists in great degree in this country, much more so than ever in the past. And he's not to blame for a history of racial strife in this country, but he certainly is to be blamed for enhancing it with his inaction and his cowardice in addressing it.
You know, when you talk about enhancing it, who do you see enhancing all of this talk about hate? The left. The left. They are building full campaigns on it. They ran on campaigns like that. And even inside the Democrat Party, remember how Kamala Harris got after Biden and referenced race because Biden had been really close friends when he was a senator with some of the southern senators who were either members of the KKK or certainly aligned with them. But Biden was at that time saying, well, we had a way we could work together. You know, we all got along. And it had upset Kamala to so much extent that she said, yeah, well, the little girls that were put on the bus, that could have been me and was me in some cases. And Senator Cory Booker also came out and pointed the finger at Biden. They stopped just short of saying, you are a clear racist. The message was clear from them anyway. But now it's all forgiven. So if you walk in their camp, if you will go through their steps, then they will forgive you. But you're not allowed to do anything else. I go back to this article written for Heritage. Actually, it was in the Washington Times, an opinion piece by Scott Zifferly, who's with the Heritage. He said, the truth is, there is no evidence that attacks on Asian Americans are a part of some surge in right-wing violence, nor do they appear to be the work of those who would consider themselves supporters of Mr. Trump. We must take the attack seriously. That requires an honest examination of the facts. That's something the left doesn't want to know, though. They don't want the facts. They don't need no stinking facts, because we can tell you what the facts are. And we've got mainstream media and big tech helping us carry the story. To that extent, when we return, I'm going to go back into one of those remarks that Barnacle made. He just kind of slid in under the door. We're going to call him out on it. Maybe you caught it. We'll see if we're on the same page when we continue.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We're talking about rigged elections now. We're still talking about January 6th. All of that is the gift that keeps on giving, presented to us by a man who never, ever should have been president.
There was. Maybe some of you caught it earlier, as you heard from Mike Barnacle, MSNBC contributor. He was talking primarily about Donald Trump, the Atlanta area massage parlor shootings, and trying to suggest that Asian massage parlors were targeted because of Trump's hate speech, as he words it. But then he slipped in that little remark. He was talking about Trump has just left us with such a disaster. He said, to talk about rigged elections. And January 6th, look at what happened at the Capitol. He said, oh, that's a gift that keeps on giving. Now, listen to this next part. In a moment, I'm going to let you hear him say it again, but I want to say it. Presented to us by a man who never, ever should have been president. What? Isn't that a conspiracy theory? I mean, that he never should have been president? That's suggesting that he stole the election? And, of course, we know the Russian collusion allegation they kept pushing around. That didn't go anywhere, did it? That failed. And Hillary said, well, I would have won except for. I mean, they have yet to admit that Trump was the legitimately elected president. And if you dare question Biden being president now, you're treasonous and you're not looking at the rule of law, and you are deadly dangerous to this country, because Biden was properly elected despite any of your misgivings. And Trump was not legitimate. All right, let me let you hear Mike Barnacle say it again.
We're talking about rigged elections now. We're still talking about January 6th. All of that is the gift that keeps on giving, presented to us by a man who never, ever should have been president.
How do they come up with that? That's a bald-faced lie. Never, ever should have been. He was elected, duly elected, like you're saying Biden was. Oh, that's right. That's right. You can question the Trump election, but we cannot question the Biden election. And there's a Facebook exec caught on tape on a Project Veritas undercover video again. And he admits that his company said, I work for a company that's doing a lot of damage in the world. It's doing a lot of good, but it's doing a lot of damage. And he talked about that Facebook-owned platforms, Instagram, WhatsApp, all this. He said they had too much power altogether. And he also was asked, what do you think of any power and ability that Facebook and all those apps had reference the election and getting Biden elected? And he said, yeah. He said, we are the ones who pushed. We're pushing the get out the vote. He said, I'm convinced that we probably got a lot of votes to come out that went in and voted for Biden. He said, I'm pretty sure that we did it through Facebook. See, the big tech had a free reign. They could do what they want, say what they want. No one could challenge them. They will shut you down. They will shut you down. I mean, somebody the other day told me their account had been closed only because they had quoted someone else. And I don't mean another Facebook person, someone in Congress, some statement that was made. Now, they may later come back, oh, we made a mistake. We shouldn't have pulled that one down. But they do it. And then once it's done, it takes a while to get back. And anyway, this Benny Thomas, he's the Facebook's global planning lead, saying that, I mean, in his words, no king in history has been the ruler of 2 billion people, but Mark Zuckerberg is. He said, you should not have power over 2 billion people. I just think that's wrong. He said, I'd break it up and remove Zuck as the CEO. In fact, he said, Facebook and Google are no longer companies. They are countries. It's only going to enhance rapidly, one of the undercover journalists said. He said, yes, he must be stopped. He said, what if it's not stopped? He said, well, we're all in deep S. You know deep S. You've been around deep S before. You've been in it. He's saying that's what we're going to be in. He said, well, what's happening? He's asked by one of the journalists. He said, I don't want to talk about it. It remains a long conversation. At a later point, Thomas was told, hey, you've been on undercover video. Woo! Facebook not immediately responding for questions, for comment, but that guy's probably toast, wouldn't you think? He's in deep S, as you say. Coming up, your child and your grandchild's education is at risk. They're on the front line of the leftist movement. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
When it comes to insects in the world, we are outnumbered. A University of Nebraska researcher estimates that there are 10 quintillion insects. That's a 10 with 18 zeros behind it. Now you know you need Rodler, Rodler Pest Solutions. Here's another fact. When one insect gets in your home, more will come and spread and multiply your kitchen, your bathroom, your bedroom. Call Rodler Pest Solutions immediately. Rodler, family owned and operated for 3 generations. If you've never used Rodler, I encourage you to start now. If you haven't used Rodler recently, do it now. This is the season when the invasion starts. And remember, we're outnumbered. Get help. Call Rodler, 877-ROTTLER. 877-ROTTLER. Or check the website, rottler.com. 877-ROTTLER, Rodler Pest Solutions.
Oh, smokes that lightning.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This week, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis condemning critical race theory, saying, let me be clear, there is no room in our classrooms for things like critical race theory. Teaching kids to hate their country, to hate each other, is not worth one red cent of taxpayer money. Now, you probably have heard about critical race theory, and you may be a little bit confused as to what exactly is in play here, but you need to know about it because this means your kids are on the front line of another progressive movement. Joining us now, Stanley Kurtz, an American conservative commentator and also a contributing editor to National Review. Stanley, glad to have you on board, sir.
Larry, thanks so much for having me.
So I'm looking at a piece you wrote the other day. It appeared in National Review. entitled as the greatest education battle of our lifetimes. And you immediately get into a misleading, you say a misleading introduction bill called Civics Secures Democracy Act, which involves, quote, critical race theory. We were just talking about Governor DeSantis referring to an action civics. Where does it go from here and what's at stake?
Well, that's absolutely it, Larry. Believe it or not, Congress, with a bipartisan bill, there are Republicans on this bill as well as Democrats, is proposing to spend $1 billion, and that money would end up funding both critical race theory in K-12 and also something called action civics, which really just means students protesting, doing political protests outside of school, but getting course credit for it. This is the new wave within progressive education. It literally politicizes and indoctrinates students. Of course, the protests 99% of the time are for leftist causes. So those two things would be funded by the bill. Now, that's not immediately obvious. You have to really know how these stealth bills work, but it's in there. And so far from Governor DeSantis saying not one penny for all this stuff, we're talking about $1 billion has just been proposed.
I have to ask right away, and I know that one of the co-sponsors in the Senate, John Cornyn of Texas, and then the House, Tom Cole, how the hell did they get talked into doing this?
I wish I knew the answer to that, Larry, but my guess is that they were just had the wool pulled over their eyes. Again, these stealth bills are very clever. Unless you absolutely know about the action civics movement, and most conservatives have never even heard of it. I'll bet 99% of your listeners have never heard of it. But unless you know about that movement, you won't recognize that that's what the bill is actually funding. So if you go up to a typical conservative, right from a senator down to an ordinary conservative listening to your show, and you say, what this country needs is more civics, and they would say, yes, that's absolutely
right.
It. Let's do it. Federalism, the three branches. And so by talking about civics, but slapping the label civics on these leftist adventures, they're able to trick Republicans.
I'm glad. I think you framed that excellently in a succinct way, because we have seen numerous times, and you're right, it normally is progressive issues, where a school suddenly will let a class go or the entire student body go participate in some march or something. You know, a march for Greenpeace, a march for a better world, things that we kind of can all support to some extent. And the kids look at it, it's a lark. We go out and we don't stay in the classroom. And yet now, under this thing, they would get to do more of it and get credit for being out in the street doing something like that?
That's exactly right, Larry. And we already have seen this in two blue states. Illinois and Massachusetts have passed state laws that mandate this action civics. You have to have an action civics project in eighth grade and then again in high school. And this involves protest and sometimes, believe it or not, Larry, sometimes this involves literal lobbying. So the students go as a class and maybe lobby for, say, a gun control bill at the state legislature. And this is, they get school credit for this. And so the people behind this bill are the people who created those state laws mandating political protests called action civics in Massachusetts and Illinois. And those same people are strong supporters of critical race theory. So the bill is written in such a way that they will get all the government grants, and that's what they'll do. And the Republicans will say, oh, we just did a great thing. We passed a civics bill, and they won't realize till it's too late what's actually going on. So I'm trying to blow the whistle.
You're listening to Stanley Kurtz. He's a contributing editor, National Review, senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. As he says, it is the greatest education battle of our lifetimes. And I do know that many folks, let me reframe this quickly. If they're going to give credit for such events like that, riddle me this. I know the answer, but I'm going to let you answer it. What are the chances then that maybe a teacher who is all about, you know, no gun control and support the Second Amendment, let's go out and protest with the Second Amendment crowd that's out here and saying, protect our Second Amendment. Do you think they would be able to let their school students out and they would get credit for that? Or would that be, no, that's the wrong message.
Theoretically, Larry, it's possible, but think about the teachers' unions. They are the main backers of the Democratic Party. They are very far left. So if you tell teachers, I want you to bring discussions of current political controversies into class, and then organize your students to protest about whatever they think is an important issue, it's really an invitation for an overwhelmingly left-leaning teacher force to bring their politics into the classroom and indoctrinate these students. And not only that, but if whether it's for the conservative or a left-leaning cause, it's really not fair to the students, because usually some students who aren't really for whatever the class is protesting on get caught up because they don't want to be left out. And they really have no business bringing politics into the classroom.
And they might actually have their grade marked down if they don't participate or don't show the right colors at the right time. And the other part of that is, you know, in those grades, we need education. We need it in higher institutions of learning as well, but there you might well be indoctrinated by those who are there, but this is not education, it's indoctrination. And that, you mentioned Illinois. The critical race theory has been approved in Illinois as well, and they supposedly, as you point out, to attract minority teachers, more likely to appeal minority students. Critical race theory. Now, the statement from Governor DeSantis a moment ago, let me read it. He said, there is no room in our classrooms for teaching kids to hate their country and hate each other. That, I think, is a pretty good analysis of critical race theory. Your words.
Well, you're absolutely right, Larry. But again, if you look at the words of the bill, they are very carefully crafted. They mention things like achievement gaps between different racial and ethnic groups and trying to get everyone's participation. But once those criteria are down, and once you have the Biden administration doling out the money, they're going to go to what these blue states are doing, which are these critical race theory programs. Whereas if you're more conservative, then you have a civics program that basically gives the same approach to our government to everyone, regardless of race or ethnicity or their income. And so the way the bill is written almost guarantees that the money will go to the people who favor critical race theory. Again, it's hard to tell when you look at the bill, but when you look at what's happening in states like Illinois and how they're justifying the state, forcing the entire state, and I'll tell you, these downstate people in the conservative areas in Illinois
are really upset.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's right.
A lot of them in this audience right now. And to that extent, they apparently learn from the failures to really get the Obama administration Common Core widely accepted, because they realize we're going to have to conceal and cover and rewrite and kind of put bubbles all around this and flowers on the critical race theory and the other, so it will sound better, because Common Core blew up in their face pretty much.
That's exactly right, Larry. This really is Common Core before Common Core was for math and for reading. And this is Common Core for history and civics. They don't want to use the word, just like you say, but the truth is that's what this is. And if you look at the very few number of conservatives, not in the Senate or the House, but actually sort of policy think tanks who favor this, and it's overwhelmingly on the left that it's favored, but the few conservatives that favor it are the people who like the original Common Core. They want a national curriculum. And another thing this bill would do is to change a key national test and align it with one of these left-leaning curriculums, and that would force all the states to teach to the test or they won't get good federal grants. This is really a federal...
You control the purse strings, they suddenly jump into line. In the last minute and a half here, what's the end game? Where are we going to be with the kids that are going through this program 10, 15 years down the road in the next generation? What do you see happening?
Well, that'll be the end of our constitutional republic as the founders conceived of it. Critical race theory is completely in opposition to the fundamental principles of classical liberalism that were pervaded our founding documents. They're really a form of neo-Marxism. And if we don't stop this now, we're going to lose our constitutional system. It's as simple as that.
You know, and I'm thinking back very quickly. My oldest daughter, when she was in a high school class, French class, I came home one day and the house smelled good. She and her friend were baking croissants because the teacher said, if you bring in something baked like that, well, then you'll get your grade bumped up one grade. I thought, what? You're not learning anything. You're just baking something. And that I thought was bad. This is helter-skelter on our children. I want to thank you very much for your time, Stanley. We'd like to get you back on a future subject.
Wonderful, Larry. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Stanley Kurtz, American conservative commentator, senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. He has, by the way, also a Ph.D. in social anthropology from Harvard and taught also at the University of Chicago. Now coming up, the New York Times admitting something I didn't think they would. Pretty interesting. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So today I got my morning slap in the face. As many of you know, I subscribe and ask the New York Times to send this to me on a daily basis, and I call it a slap in the face. It's a piece written by David Linhart every day about what's important in the world and what New York Times is doing about it. And it begins today, good morning, Larry Connors. Well, I didn't add my name, but I mean, I put it in. Good morning. Republicans tend to underestimate COVID risk. Well, I could see that coming. And then does this. Republicans tend to underestimate COVID risk and Democrats tend to exaggerate them. Well, I cannot believe they did that. That's in the headline. The subheadline, too hot and too cold. Points out Americans on the right half of the political spectrum have tended to underplay the risk of COVID-19, less willing to wear a mask or avoid indoor gatherings, more hesitant to get vaccinated. To many liberals, COVID's another example of the modern Republican Party's hostility to facts and evidence. All this coming from a central finding of 35,000 Americans by Gallup and Franklin Templeton, finding that both liberals and conservatives suffer from misperceptions about the pandemic in opposite directions. As he said, Republicans tend to underestimate, liberals tend to overestimate. Well, I guess that's probably true. I just got word from a relative, said, we got our second series of shots. We're all good. We got our vaccinations. What about you? And I said, I don't know if I'm going to get one. I might not. You know, I'm not going to tell anyone else what you should do. You should do what is best for you and your family and make that decision. But what does get me, what does bother the hell out of me, everybody in the White House and members of Congress did get their shots, which, and I have no problem with them getting it, but they still do all the things behind a mask, and talk like this, even when they're together. And you don't need the mask once you have it. If I get the vaccine, quit telling me what I need to be doing and wearing a mask. And I think I have someone that will help me on that. I think somebody will step forward and say, I agree with Larry. His name would be, you might have heard his name before, John Kerry. You know the name John Kerry? He is President Biden's climate envoy, one-time presidential contender. I don't think he likes the idea of the mask either. How do I know? Well, when you're on an airplane, and I've been on a couple since all this started, once down to Texas and back, and then once to Cancun, Mexico, and back, you have to keep your mask on when you're on the plane. You have to keep your mask on when you're in the waiting area, getting on the plane. You have to keep your mask on every. If you take it off, it better be real quick and back. And, of course, on the they're not going to serve basically any food or drinks anymore on the plane. Tough luck. We don't want you to pull the mask down. Well, there was a picture captured on an American Airlines flight from Boston to Washington. Now, John Kerry has his own jet, but here he is. I guess he got so much criticism because he's out there talking about we need to reduce our carbon footprint that he decided, okay, I will fly commercial, just like the rest of the public. Not exactly. No. Not exactly. Unless you fly first class all the time, because that's what he did. And I have no problem with him doing that. It's his money. And for security, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I never get upset with someone else having a bunch of money and how they use it. It's their money. But he decided to go on an American Airlines flight from Boston to Washington. And somebody got a picture of him there with his mask hanging off his face, kind of stuck to only one ear while he's reading something. I guess he's reading. I don't know. Maybe he fell asleep or what. and the CDC has an order that states, requiring the wearing of masks by travelers to prevent spread of the virus that causes COVID-19. That went into effect February 21 or 22. But the order must be followed by all passengers, unless you're John Kerry. See, it's as simple as that. He's different than you and me. He is John Kerry, and you're not, and I'm not. But I think he would agree with me. We can get rid of these masks. He has been vaccinated. He's gotten vaccinated. And the ruling, by the way, was February 1. So now American Airlines, once this came to their attention, said, well, we'll investigate. And Kerry's saying, you're making a lot of nothing out of I took it off briefly. They just got the picture then. I don't know what is fact. I only know there's a picture and what the allegation was. And American Airlines is going to investigate. And yet at the same time, they got to think, we got to be careful here. We don't want to, you know, we can't let him kind of just have a free pass and let everybody else do it. So they're trying to figure out, how do we get out of this thing? It's almost like the plane is in a dive and they're trying to figure out, how do we pull out of this and save ourselves and don't cause damage to John Kerry and the Biden administration, because we do need to rely upon them. So, next time you're on a plane flight, I guess you could claim that John Kerry is my daddy. I can do what my daddy does. See how far that gets you. Just see how far it gets you. There's a lady that went into a bank the other day trying to withdraw money. She wanted to take her money out of the bank, and she wasn't wearing a mask. And they said, you have to wear a mask. I said, well, I'm not going to. I'm here to take my money out of the bank. You have to wear a mask. So, well, she got tackled to the ground in handcuffs. She's shouting out, police brutality here. I just can't get my money. You know, there are times that it's been absolutely over-restrictive and absolutely out of control because they can. Well, what they are not doing is dealing with a crisis at the border. We're going to get into that. You don't want to miss that section coming up in the next hour. And Hans von Pakoski from Heritage Foundation. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.